Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, the prayers of Queen Kunti, found in your book stack in the printout, and it's text number 39. Narayanam namaskritya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasatim vyasam.
Devim sarasatim vyasam.
Tato jayamudhiraye. Neyam shobishyate tatra.
Neyam shobishyate tatra.
Not in this land will appear beautiful. This land will no longer appear beautiful. Shobhishyate means beautiful. Not in this land, iyam, in this place. This place will no longer be beautiful, Queen Kunti is saying. Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Yate danim gadadhara. So now it's beautiful because Gadadhara, Krishna, is there. Yate danim gadadhara. Twat padar ankita bhati.
Twat padar ankita bhati.
So it's marked. Bhati means dazzling, something greatly effulgent. And ankita means there's markings. And twatpadar, by your feet. Why is it beautiful now? Because the markings of your feet are there on this land. Svalakshana vilakshitai.
Svalakshana
vilakshitai.
Svalakshana vilakshitai.
Sva means one's own, and lakshana. This is the quality. So it's your swalakshana means your own marks, vilakshitai, the impressions. Swalakshana vilakshitai. It's marked with the impressions, your own impressions. And Krishna's lotus feet, of course, have very specific markings. Neyam sobishyate tatra.
Yate
danim gadadhara. Svatpadar ankita bhati. Svalakshana vilakshitai. Few chanters.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Yate danim gadadhara.
Yate danim gadadhara.
Twatpadar ankita bhati.
Twatpadar ankita bhati.
Svalakshana vilakshite.
Svalakshana vilakshitai.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra.
Neyam shobhishyate tatra. Yate danim gadadhara. Tvatpadar ankita bhati. Svalakshana vilakshitai.
Neyam
sobhishyate
tatra.
Yate danim gadadhara. Tvatpadar ankita bhati. Svalakshana vilakshitai. Now I'll say the word for word, I'll say the Sanskrit word and then you say what it means, but don't look. Na.
Not.
Not. Iyam. Iyam means in this land, in this other kingdom. I did say don't look, right? Shobishyate. Yeah, to be beautiful. So, neyam shobishyate tatra means what? It won't be very beautiful. Yata, as it is now. So, she's saying it won't be beautiful as it is now. Gadadhara. This is a name for Krishna.
So it is Dani means from his dan, like his gift.
Idanim is his how. Yatadhanam. It as it is, it won't be beautiful like it is now, O Krishna. Now, Tvatpadair, that means Krishna's feet. She's saying your feet. Pada means feet, right? Ankita, marked. Bhati, good, she's translating into Bengali as we go. It's dazzling. So his beautiful feet, the markings are, they're dazzling, they're beautiful. Swalakshana, your own marks, the special markings on the feet of the Lord. Vilakshitai, by the impressions. Okay. O Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Please repeat. O Gadadhar
Krishna,
our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet.
Our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet.
And therefore it appears beautiful.
And therefore it appears beautiful.
But when you leave,
it will no longer be so.
Purport. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of the flag, thunderbolt, and instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc. are on the bottom of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. And would sing the Mangalacharna, which you find in your songbook. And it will be on page number 10. Vande hum Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Guru Navaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Shivishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Varshava Navi Devi Thaya Thaya Kripadaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambuchayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanugavarayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Sajjana Priya
Vaishnava Sarva Boma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namaha. Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Mater Gati Matsarvasapadambojo Radha Madana Mohano. Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Dhrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Shrila Govinda Devo Vishtali Vi Sevya Manu Smarani Srimad Racharasarambi Vamsi Bhata Tatastita Karshan Venu Svanir Gopi Gopinata Sriyestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devai Priyai Keshavasya Krishna Bhakti Pradi Devi Satya Vachai Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Narasingha Pralada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vringa Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktarvinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
When Akura was sent to Vrindavan to pick up Krishna and Balaram and bring them back to Kamsa. Kamsa, of course, had an evil design, which was he wanted to kill them. That was his meditation all along. He wanted Krishna and Balaram killed, and he sent one demon after another into Vrindavan, into the Vraj, to kill them. And one after another, Krishna killed the demons that he sent. And then Kamsa had the idea, he had this elephant, Kuvalayapida, a huge, strong elephant lined up that he thought would be able to kill Krishna. And then he also had some wrestlers, Chanura and Mushtika. This big WWF, bigger than Hulk Hogan, characters who were going to fight with Krishna and try to kill them. And he sent Akura to pick up Krishna and Balaram. And Akura, of course, he was working for Kamsa, as was everybody else at the time, because he was the king. He had taken over that position. And Akura, although he was on this mission to bring Krishna and Balaram back to Kamsa, he only had one meditation, and that was that he would see Krishna and Balaram, and that when Krishna saw him, he would say, "Oh, my uncle," and he would put his lotus palm on his head and purify him of all kinds of material desires and distress that he had. And he was thinking about that lotus palm of Krishna and how in the rasa dance Krishna was dancing with gopis. Actually, they danced for how long in the rasa dance?
One
night. And what kind of night was that? It was one night of Brahma. You know, trillions of years, actually. That that they dance there. And anyways, during that rasa dance, it's described how the gopis were perspiring and the drops of perspiration were like pearls. And anyway, Krishna revived them just by his lotus palm on their face. He revived them. And everywhere where Krishna places his lotus hand, and one becomes purified and revived. And so Akura was thinking about the lotus palm of Krishna. He was also thinking of the lotus eyes of Krishna. He couldn't get the vision of his eyes out of his mind. Krishna's eyes are so beautiful. They're described like lotus petals. Even Lord Chaitanya's eyes are described, Ajanulam bitabujo kanakava dato samkirtanai kapitaro kamalaya taksho Vishvambaro dvijadvaro yugadharmapalo vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro. His description of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and how their arms extend down to their knees and how their lotus eyes, they're so beautiful and big, they go back almost to their ears. Their eyes are so big. And Krishna's eyes are so beautiful that Akura was just meditating on his eyes and thinking of maybe he'd be touched on the head with the lotus palm of Krishna. And as he was driving from Mathura into Vrindavan, he saw the beautiful scenery along the way. For instance, there are many white cows in Vrindavan, and they're running here and there. Cows, very auspicious to see a cow. In fact, when Krishna wakes up in the morning, when he's a householder, one of the things he does in his Dwarka Leela, when he's acting like a king, he gets up and he worships the cow. He looks at the form of a cow. Just by seeing a cow, one becomes purified. I don't see any cows around here. Anywhere you go, you don't see cows. San Francisco, I was there yesterday. I didn't see any cows. Stanford Hills, you can see a cow. And but as soon as you get to Vrindavan, there's cows everywhere. This is Vrindavan. It's full of cows. Goloka Vrindavan. It's Krishna's planet. It's the highest planet in the spiritual world. Goloka Namni Nijadamni. It's his own planet. And what's there? Well, the name ought to give it away. Golok. It's full of cows. Cows. Cows are all auspicious. They're Krishna's pets. He takes care of them. He actually chants japa to the cows. In fact, he has this string of 108 beads, and it's made of jewels. And on those jewels, he chants. What does he chant? The names of his cows. And they all have different names, like Madungamukhi. Like, they have a face like a Madunga. And all kinds of affectionate names. And they're all different colors, too. Some are checkered colors. Some are red, yellow, white. And in Vrindavan, you can see cows everywhere. So Akura started seeing cows as he was coming into Vrindavan. Some were chasing after other cows for mating. And, there were young cows and old cows and everywhere cows. And then as he got into the actual precinct of Vrindavan, you can feel this when you go into the Holy Dham, that there's an effulgence that comes from the Dham that's so powerful. You can feel it when you actually enter into it and when you leave it. When you're in the Dham for a while and you're there connected with the Chintamani dust of the Dham, every grain of dust that's there in the Dham is Chintamani. It's spiritual. And when you leave there and you go back out of the Dham, you can feel that it's no longer so. And when you go from Vrindavan to Delhi, when our Ananda Rupa came, he stayed in Govardhan for a couple of days. We were together in Vrindavan and then for like one day, and then he came to Govardhan for 2 or 3 days, did the parikram. And when he left and he got back to Bombay, he said, now I know the difference between the Dham and the material world, because Bombay felt so mundane after being in the Holy Dham. So why is it like that? Because it's beautified by the lotus feet of Krishna. When Krishna is present, then everything becomes beautiful. And when Akura entered into Vrindavan, he looked from his chariot. He was driving on his chariot, and he looked down from the chariot. And what did he see there but the lotus feet impressions on the dust of Vrindavan, of Krishna's lotus feet? And how could he tell they were Krishna's lotus feet? Swalakshana Vilakshitai. So they had his own personal marks. Some of those marks are listed here, like there's a thunderbolt on the lotus feet of Krishna. So Bhagavatam mentions the thunderbolt. One more Sri Shripanishad sold. Congratulations. Give her a hand. That's two light of the Bhagavad sold. Those are expensive. Okay, so the thunderbolt is a marking on the lotus feet of Krishna. When he puts his lotus foot on the dust of Vrindavan, it makes that marking. You can see that with the other markings. So that thunderbolt, Bhagavatam says, when the yogis meditate upon that thunderbolt on the lotus feet of Krishna, it smashes mountains of sin that have accumulated life after life. In the material world, one thing after another, like a pinball machine, we're just bumping into all kinds of sinful circumstances. You can't help it. When you're in the modes of material nature, if you're influenced by the modes, you can't help but being sinful. Because eventually, even if you try to maintain the mode of goodness, Krishna says in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that the modes mix together and they're always fighting for supremacy. And sometime you're going to hit passion and ignorance, which means you're going to make offenses and you're going to get anartas and you're going to become contaminated. So all that contamination, it adds up lifetime after lifetime into a mountain of sin. But by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna and thinking of that thunderbolt that's there, that thunderbolt will smash, just like thunderbolts come down and they'll smash the mountain peak and blow it to smithereens. So similarly, whatever sinful desires we have, we've accumulated by meditating on that thunderbolt on the lotus feet of Krishna, then our sin will be smashed. The lotus feet of Krishna are so powerful. And Kunti is feeling this separation. Now, this is the symptom of advancement in devotional service. We want to be aware of these things so that we know how we're advancing in devotional service. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayasche cheta iter anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. When we're actually taking the medicine properly, which means putting attention to chanting, putting our attention on the holy name of the Lord, and hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam at least once a day, and associating with devotees. And there are many other activities we can do to purify ourselves by avoiding certain things in the material world that will contaminate us, which are encompassed within the four regulative principles. Then we'll actually feel for ourselves a spiritual strength, stitam sattve prasidati, that we're actually got a solid footing in this sattvagun. And then, evam pranasam manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangha sajayate. We'll realize the science of Krishna consciousness. Now, it won't be theoretical, but we'll actually get vijnan, and we'll become happy, because material life is such a huge burden. It's a one thing after another piled on our head, a burden, all these extra duties that have actually nothing to do with our self-interest. But when we become enlightened in Krishna consciousness and we see that I've been created by Krishna, I'm manifested from Krishna for a purpose. Krishna has created me with some idea in mind. He has some duty for me to perform for him. And that is the most enlivening thing. And this is in relationship to our advancement in devotional service. We should feel this enlivenment that Krishna expects me to do something for him. And if I can get that service for Krishna to his lotus feet, that specific thing that he expects me to do, then my life becomes situated properly. And a great barometer of our advancement in devotional service is how we feel separation from Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshashtakam, yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravrishayitam shunyayitam jagatsarvam govinda virahename, that he feels that when Krishna's not there, and when he's not when he's not seeing Krishna, when he's not connected with Krishna, when Krishna's not present, he feels the whole universe to be void. And he feels like 1 minute is 12 years. That's separation. That's advancement in Krishna consciousness. When we feel separation from Krishna, then it's advancement. When we feel separation from sense gratification, that means the disease is still there. So to the degree that we're feeling separation from our sense gratification, I want my MTV. There was a famous song in the 80s. They said, I want my MTV. Everyone wants their MTV or their, you know, there's some sense object there that every sense wants, and it's crying out like that. I want my something. You know, and so when we develop this hankering for Krishna's service, and we get some service, and we can think of Krishna, and we can think of Krishna's lotus feet and our relationship to his service, and we feel separation from that service, we feel separation from Krishna, to that degree we're making advancement in devotional service. And this is great realization also, as Kunti is saying, and Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, that she feels, as Prabhupada puts here, that that Lord Sri Krishna was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. So that's all there is when the Lord's not around, when we're not speaking his name from our tongue, there's only ill luck coming. So we should create our own good luck by staying constantly in contact with Krishna through service and chanting the holy name of Krishna, and then all auspiciousness will be there. And even if we're not fully conscious of what it means yet, of how powerful the Bhagavatam is, or how powerful the holy name of Krishna is, we should take whatever spiritual intelligence we have to remain in contact with those things constantly. And gradually, Krishna will reveal to us how dependent we are on him. One of my favorite verses, which I've quoted before many times in this class, but which has recently become more revived in my own personal puja, because recently I got a gift of a Shalagram Shila that's in the shape of Krishna's lotus foot. It's a very unusual Shila. You look at it, you go, that's the Lord's foot. It looks exactly like his foot. And someone gave it to me recently, and I started worshiping it. And when I worship that Shalagram Shila in the morning times, I chant this verse from the Bhagavatam, Sama Sritaye Parapalava Plavam Mahapanam Punya Yasho Murare Bhavam Vurir Vatsa Param Padam Param Padam Param Yad Vipadam Natesham. That we should take shelter. Those who are devotees, they don't take shelter of the material world and the things in the material world that other people think will give shelter, but rather they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, which are the shelter of the entire cosmic manifestation. They're so powerful, and they'll act like a boat to take us across. Another Shrishi Upanishad sold. Congratulations. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna. We'll have the Isha Upanishads in a stack over here afterwards. If we take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, they will carry us across the material world easily. And also, the devotees realize how safe the lotus feet of Krishna are, and they don't take shelter in the material world where there's danger at every step. Everything we do here is dangerous. It's at your own risk. And there's no insurance, actually. And as Helen Keller said, any thought that we have in this material world of security is pure illusion. If you think that something is going to make you secure from the material side, it's absolute total illusion, as was Helen Keller said that. She was a deaf, dumb, and blind person who excelled and an overachiever in every way, but she had that realization and wrote about it. So we should make our lives fortunate, lucky, and auspicious by keeping the impressions of the lotus feet of the Lord present around us in whatever way we can. Everywhere we go, we should somehow or other bring the Lord into it, bring the Lord into our lives, and go to visit those places where the impressions of the Lord's feet are, and our lives will flourish in every way. Go on pilgrimage to any place where the Lord is. For instance, if you go on vacation, I have this own my own personal testimonial about vacations. You know, everyone likes to take a vacation now and then. So I took a vacation once, and I looked at a travel brochure, and I thought, I'm going to go to Belize. Because I thought, man, look at that beautiful water and the ocean and everything like that. And I went to Belize, and there was no devotees and no temple in Belize. And I have to tell you that I've never suffered as much in my life in such a beautiful place. It's the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen in the morning. And I suffered like anything the whole time. And I had this strong realization when I came home. I said, I'm never going anywhere ever again without the purpose of going to be around a temple. You'll also get vacation when you go to visit the Lord. But center it around Krishna. Don't just go on vacation. Go with the purpose of seeing Krishna's lotus feet. Then everything will be auspicious. Otherwise, it doesn't matter if you're in heaven. You'll suffer like anything. It's hell for the devotees if there's no Krishna's lotus feet there. It's not beautiful. It's ugly. It's horrible. It's void of any happiness. So the key here is keep Krishna's lotus feet in your heart. Keep them in your house. Keep them in your kids' lives. Keep them in wherever you go. Make sure that the Lord's personal lotus feet are there. Then your life's auspicious, happy, lucky. What were the three things Brahma said? And we had him translate into Japanese. It was like 3 years ago we were doing this.
Happiness.
Liberation.
Kaiho.
And abundance? Something? Anyway, Lord Brahma, we'll think of it. Lord Brahma gave three benedictions that when you remember Krishna, then you always, everything good comes to your life. So this is one of the most beautiful prayers, and oftentimes I apply it to our association with Srila Prabhupada. Those of us who were present here when he was walking on the planet, I remember one time we were in Vrindavan, and we went on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. And devotees were taking, when he walked on the ground there, they were taking some of the dust from the impression of his feet and they were putting it in a bag. And then I saw he got in a car and some other devotees who hadn't been there, and he drove off in the car, and then they were taking the dust from where the tire tracks were. But when Prabhupada was present, and because he carried Krishna with him everywhere, and he had no other purpose but to, you know, give people the lotus feet of Krishna, that everything flourished. And then as soon as Prabhupada left, then we had to struggle on our own, just like the way when Krishna left the planet. Arjuna, he was a great warrior, and he succeeded on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because of Krishna's grace. And afterwards, he lost his power, and he had to struggle. He was trying to protect the queens of Krishna, and he was defeated by some, you know, cowherd men, Arjuna. And then Arjuna started to think, well, where did all my power go? And then he had to remember Bhagavad Gita. So, you know, great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada come to this world, and they also bring Krishna's lotus feet. But when they leave, we can also feel what it's like for Queen Kunti when Krishna is leaving, that there's a void that is created after a great personality like Srila Prabhupada is here, leaves, and there can be turmoil. But there's growth in that turmoil where we have to struggle on our own to remember Bhagavad Gita, to regulate ourselves, to bring our minds back to the lotus feet of Krishna on our own and find that there's complete solace and shelter in that. And then we become strong in our own right to perform devotional service and to remember Krishna. So now that Srila Prabhupada has come and gone, we should also follow in his footsteps and take the instruction that he's given to remain in contact with Krishna, and then we'll be protected. Om Tat Sat. Ruby Mataji?
Yeah, I just want...
You can use the microphone, please.
Like last Thursday when we were doing the Gita Jayanti, so we recited. So, but anyways, we were able to. We missed you, but we were able to recite the whole Gita. And at that time, I was thinking that your idea of those slokas that you are putting colorful, like the small slips of paper, I was thinking I'll take some and give it to my friends to meditate on, and at the end of the day I'll ask how much they remember of that, and if that gets them kind of at least interested in getting Gita of their own. So what do you think about that? Because
I think that's a great idea.
My niece really liked that when I sent that one of those with something about a woman, and so I sent it about Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said for her birthday, and she really appreciated that. So I thought that, and that got her.
This is an inspiration coming right from Krishna into your heart. Prabhupada said this, that every devotee would get their own genius of how to distribute books according to their sincerity. He said when Tripurari Maharaj was going around teaching about book distribution, Prabhupada told him, he said, one thing, you teach them how to be sincere. And if they're sincere, Krishna will teach from within their heart how to distribute these books. So because you're sincere, Krishna has given you this idea, and you should take it and go with it as much as possible. Stock up on these. Stock up on Bhagavad Gitas. You've already got two Ishapanishads this morning. And then take them with you and, you know, do it. Do it. This is also a point about travel. You know, when Krishna's involved in travel, now when I'm traveling, I take these a little prasadam. Always make sure my pocket's full of prasadam. And when I get up in the ticket counter line, I start giving out prasadam. It changes everything. The whole atmosphere at the San Francisco airport's always, everyone's standing there going, when's this line going to move? And everyone's in anxiety. It's a hurry up and wait kind of situation. But as soon as you start taking out lollipops and handing them to people, then everyone's like, well, thank you. You know, it just breaks the clouds open. Bring Krishna in your pocket. Bring those shlokas. Bring Gitas everywhere you go. And you'll create that atmosphere of Krishna's lotus feet. And it'll become beautiful. It's an excellent idea. You should do that. Very good. And report back when you're done. Let us know how it goes. Nice. Yes, Rakshit Prabhu, can you hand him the microphone, please?
I had a question on the verse that you recited before we started, this verse from the second canto. The SB 1343, and that was, this Bhagavata Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. So when Krishna is leaving, is he taking knowledge and religion with him such that the earth now is going to be depleted of that?
Yes, he is. And that's the idea of this science of devotional service. I mean, Krishna says, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham teshovastita. He's giving these indications in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita how he's manifest but not manifest. As it says, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. But we find out in the pastimes of the Bhagavatam that Krishna's left Vrindavan. And the gopis, they don't sleep for years and years on end because they're always crying. And you can't sleep when you're crying. And so he's gone, but he's not gone. So Krishna, when he leaves, his personal presence, when he leaves, then he's taking with him all these things, but he's leaving at the same time. And he leaves it in a way that it's the great science of how to be in contact with Krishna, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. And he's gone, but he's not gone. He's fully present. He leaves the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's his incarnation. And those who will hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, they'll be in Krishna's presence. Maharaj? Oh, I thought you had your hand. Confirmed. That is confirmed. So yes, Krishna leaves, but he does not leave. And, you know, like, he's present in his sound vibration when he personally goes.
So in other words, you hear this, and I think it is in Maharaj's excerpts also, that Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga in the incarnation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Would that be
Oh, yes. He's incarnated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's non-different from Krishna. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nikshaya Shaya Lokasya Tandam Swastayanam Mahat. These verses confirm that the Bhagavatam and Krishna are not different. And as Maharaj, there's a verse in the 12th canto or 11th canto, which is 11th canto, which is delineating the anatomy of the Bhagavatam and how the two first cantos of the Bhagavatam are the lotus feet of Krishna. And then there's the midsection of Krishna and the midsection of the Bhagavatam, mid-cantos. The 12th canto is his crown. 11th is his smiling face. No, the 10th canto is his smiling face. The 11th, 12th canto, forehead is crown. Anyway, it's non-different from Krishna. So yes, it is the incarnation. And Krishna also incarnates in his name, Srivas Pandit Prabhu.
That Krishna incarnates.
Can you say it over? Because I want to hear it back.
In Chaitanya Bhagavat, I don't remember the exact verse, but I think it's 21st Madhya and 88th verse, 21st chapter Madhya Lila and 88th verse, that says that Krishna incarnates in four forms in this age of Kali Yuga. It's Bhagavatam, Ganga, Tulsi, and the devotees.
Yes. And also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, in Kali Yuga, Krishna comes as wood and water. Incarnates as wood and water. What is it? Lord Jagannath and the Ganga. So it's different places. It's, you know, talked about how Krishna is manifest, especially in the age of Kali. But we hear mostly the holy name as the incarnation for the age of Kali and Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, he's always manifest through his devotees, through Ganga, through Tulsi, and Bhagavatam. Especially prominent there. Okay. So, we're coming into the new year, and it's a good time to reflect on the past year. We need to have some reflection about what we've achieved in the 2007 year. It'd be nice if we can compile a list of all the accomplishments for the year 2000. And then some devotees have already started meeting, making plans for 2008. And it's also a good time to personally write down your goals for 2008. Make New Year's resolutions and goals for 2008. Write them down. And as soon as you write them down and commit them to paper and into your mind and give your attention to them, then very quickly they'll manifest. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopaktivrinda ki jai, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo.